This seance was recorded on the 16th. Did you say 16th or
16th
of December 1964, medium Leslie Flint.
I reckon if you'd been a politician, he would have put the world in order.
No, I get very incensed about things, McBrayer and Brown, of course.
And yet you, after all, Leslie, you feel benefited by a lot of these things in a roundabout fashion.
Perhaps I
mean, don't forget, Betty used to get you things cheap from the electricity board. Now, be fair.
Yes, I know. But I'm a poor working man. I'm not like, I feel that I should take advantage of it. But these people who have got bloody big jobs and about 7,000 or 8,000 a year coming in.
Well, you're a millionaire to some people, aren't you? It's all a matter of layers of average, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's all about the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it's got...
No, but I can't help thinking about some of these people. Struggle to make ends meet, of living back rooms, and old age pensioners who live on bare necessities, and these other people. These. Which is so furious. These parasites that live off the rest of the world, the rest of the people.
Never mind,
love.
You can't be all right in 5 minutes.
I hate injustice, I can't stand it.
How are you, Mickey?
I'm all right.
Oh, good.
It isn't Monday, is it?
No, it's not. It's Tuesday. Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? It's
Wednesday. Why Monday?
Well, it's usually a black day, isn't
it? Oh, I see. No, well, Friday is too, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's payday.
Oh, I see. Yes, all right,
though. Payday, bath night and mommy night. It's a night when you sort of let loose and sort of say, well, here's the weekend, let's enjoy ourselves.
That's right.
Oh no, Friday's a smashing day.
Yes,
I like
Friday.
Payback it comes in.
Yes, I like Friday. Anyway, Friday will be Christmas Day next week, won't it?
Friday will be Christmas Day next week?
Will, won't it?
Next Friday, will it? Oh, will it?
I think so, yeah.
Where are you going for Christmas?
Well, where do you
what
think?
What a question.
Look, you don't already know.
I only asked.
Atmosphere. What is the matter? What is happening? Someone in a bad mood?
I think
no,
so.
Not really. I just give vent to my feelings. You would, being an Italian, my God, you would. Worse than me, if I had a long chalk with your temper, you're reputed to have a shocking temper.
Oh, I am getting it. Well, it is true. I have temperamental and I have a very bad temper sometimes and people upset me. You know, but... that was a long time ago.
That's something I was going to ask you, Rudy. Do people have any emotions and tempers and things over there?
Oh, of course they do. Do you think we are suddenly become angels?
No, but I thought when you arrived over there, you were supposed to be placid and...
Oh, you can get from your mind that idea that when a person comes over here, they suddenly become so different and they are placid and charming and nice and people are not so different. Immediately after they come here, you know, after death. Mm. Well, they were before. They not suddenly become the perfect being. That is something that comes with experience and evolution, development. Oh, dear, dear. No, no, no. Why makes you think that we suddenly become so different. If we became so different, you wouldn't know us. Maybe she wouldn't want to know us. If we come back and we speak in such a different way and we become so different in ourselves, you would hardly know us. You would say, oh, that's not so-and-so, that can't possibly be. Oh no, it is true that after a time when you begin to settle here and you begin to think and act differently, yes, that is a very different matter, but not suddenly do you become an angel.
No, I didn't expect quite suddenly.
I don't want to be with angels. I would be most uncomfortable. I want to be with human beings. Angels only exist in the imagination of certain people who have strong religious views and prejudices. They are things which man has concocted because he, I suppose he could not help it. He thinks that there must be a world of angels and a world of devils. Fortunately, there's no such world for either, because all human beings are a mixture of good and bad. Why do you go, like that?
Well, I'm glad because I'd hate to be an angel.
I can assure you, you won't be an angel when you come here.
That's good.
Not for a very long time will you be that progressed that you will become so placid and so, good. No. It is all a mistake for people to think that we are angels or devils. We are ordinary people, human beings, who have learned lessons which often have been very hard, but have been necessary. Life, whether it is on your side or in the early stages of being here, it is full of things which cause concern. Of course, conditions vary and conditions are very different here. And we soon learn to subdue the worse self and develop the better. But even so, when we enter into your conditions, that is, especially to communicate, we are very conscious of the conditions of your world and the moods of the individuals concerned that we are concerned with. And sometimes they can affect us in as much that we take on to ourselves many things which sometimes are distressing, if only temporary. We don't find it always easy to communicate. So much depends on so many things. The atmosphere, the conditions, the attitude of the medium, the status, and we sometimes find it very difficult to have a clear channel. All this is due to atmosphere and condition and thought force. But if the thought force and condition is good, and everyone is endeavoring their utmost to be receptive and to give out love, then it is different. But it's very difficult sometimes for people in your world, I suppose, to throw off, even for a time, even temporarily, the conditions around and about you, because life becomes more increasingly complex and difficult, and people's nerves are frayed and on edge, because your world today is so very different, even to my time. You know, it's bound to have an effect, you know.
Yes, I know.
What should we talk about? You are very happy with Booker.
Yes.
Well, yes, we're pleased. We'd like to have got the original, but still we're very grateful.
You are never satisfied. You did but know how we had to work to bring that to bat. And you had to do your part too, I know, but I hope, well, perhaps, I don't know, perhaps you will get a better print later, but at the moment you must be satisfied, please.
Well, I'm sorry, but I wish the first reel was better.
Don't worry, it is. You know, at one time you would have been grateful to have had just a little piece of the film. Now you have the whole film, bar the reading matter. Really.
They were with us on Sunday night.
Of course I was with you. I think, you see, try to see things this way. We do everything we can. I do try desperately to help in every sense. And I know it is not always possible to achieve and do things perhaps even as we would like. We can't always achieve everything. I know Lynn is disappointed with us, in a sense. She feels perhaps more disappointed with themselves, and I don't know, but in all these things, it's got to be a completely 100% cooperative effort. Now you take Bouquet. I, after great difficulty, actually made it possible for you to have that picture here, and you know the difficulties that were involved. Then you had to do your share. You had to stay up for 2 nights to work and make a copy. But you see, it's 50-50. I do my part, you do your part. The same applies to Lean Circle. I do my part, I cannot do more, and they have to do their part. I'm sure they do their very best. But Lynn is always complaining, you know, she's very disheartened. She thinks, oh, nothing happened, nothing comes through, everything is against us. You see, mental attitude, I know it is difficult, but the mental attitude is one of defeat, one of depression, of not having achieved anything, everything is against her, you know. Those things I know are human. I don't blame her, but it is no help to us. It must be complete faith, complete cooperation. It is faith that makes things possible, more than anything else. You have faith that a certain thing will be achieved. It gives us greater power, greater possibility to help you. But if people lack faith, then it becomes increasingly difficult to achieve very much. It is faith that made Beaucaire a possibility. It is faith that will bring other films here, as I promised you. They will come. But it requires faith and effort too, of course. It's no good just having faith without working for it. The same as you work to make Beaucaire a reality for you, and therefore we were able to help you more with it, so it will apply to other films, and so it will apply to Lynn's Circle. So it will apply to everything, not only just to do with me and my films or my efforts to help in a circle or with a book or whatever it is. It's in everything in life, on both sides, ours as well as yours. It is the not only having the faith, but the willingness to work for it, to bring it into possibility, a reality. In other words, it is effort. You must not just sit and be content to wait for it to fall into your lap. That is useless. That is why people do not achieve very much, why they say, oh, we don't get this or we don't get that. It's because they don't make the effort sufficiently. They have not enough faith. It's so important to have faith, but only if you make effort through faith will these things come.
Rudy, I think
Leslie's
had a letter to say Moran and the Lady.
Of course, this is a surprise to me, because it is not one of my good films. But nevertheless, it is interesting, no doubt, from your point of view. And again, you see, you have to be impressed, and you have to say to yourself, now I wonder if such and such a thing is possible in this direction or that direction, you see. And you have to ferret it out, you have to go to a lot of trouble, perhaps it means expense too. These things cannot come easily. But if there is a film somewhere and I find out where it is, I impress so that you, having to do your part, help to bring it into a possibility and then eventually a reality. The same with this film that you say, Moran of the Lady Letty. There's no doubt that if you push hard enough, eventually you could get it. The same applies to all the other films that are available. If you work hard enough and push hard enough and make the effort, eventually we, with our help too, can bring it to fruition so that it is a reality for you. I've promised you that it would not be very long before you had another film. I'm hoping it will be Copper. But if it isn't, it will be something else. I promise you. But you must do your share too, you see.
It's a partnership, really, isn't it?
Of course it is. Everything that is a success must be a partnership. Of course we must expect disappointment, but that should only give you greater incentive to push on, you know?
Yes,
you see, when you get a smack in the face, you know, you say, oh dear, this is terrible, and then you revive, and you say, oh well, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to push on, I'm going to do this. See if it is possible in this way to achieve it. He says, then, after all, everything in life that is worth having, everything that is worth achieving, is only achieved and brought into being by determination. And of course, another thing to remember, that there is determination, it must be in the right way. It must never be at the expense of someone else's happiness. That would be bad. Of course, we know that things are achieved by the expense of other people, but sometimes the detriment of other people. Then what you achieve then, or what, even though it seems successful and you are perhaps for the time happy about it, it does not really bring you true happiness. It is only when you yourself have made a great effort and have done everything you can in the nice way, the proper way. You must always do things in the nice way. It is much happier, better that way. No one should be hurt in anything you endeavor to achieve. If someone is to be hurt, then that is not good.
Yeah, I see.
What do you see?
I don't know, really. Some of these things, they have to be thought about quite a lot, don't they?
Such as what? What had you in mind?
Oh,
never mind.
No, never mind.
What shall we talk about today? Anything special you want to ask me?
No, I don't think so, really. An artist did a photograph of my mother the other week. Did she impress the artist, or how would it be done?
Well, it rather depends. I think so much there again, we come back to the same thing that I have been discussing about being in tune, being in harmony, cooperation, and so on. In this particular case, I don't really know, but if the artist is truly a sensitive and truly a psychic and truly gifted, then of course the artist that worked through her will see her, that is your mother, and will sketch her as if she was being sketched in the ordinary way if she was on Earth, you see.
Mm.
But again, it may not be, it may be perhaps something rather different. Were you pleased with it?
Yes, I was pleased, but I was surprised because my mother had the robes of a Sister of Mercy on, and it's something
well,
I've never visualized
it. That I don't understand at all. It may be a composite picture. I don't know. It may be, you see, you must bear in mind this, that quite often an artist, for instance, on this side, will use the medium. A great deal depends on how much in rapport they are with the medium, and it may be that the artist will draw the face, but the medium's subconscious mind, assuming that this is a guide rather than a relation, will draw a headdress which resembles that of a Sister of Mercy or not. But that doesn't mean that your mother obviously was or is or even dresses like that. I think you must look at it this way, that in all communication, somewhere there is, unless it is an exceptional mediumship, there is some part of the medium. And I think possibly in this, the subconscious mind of the medium becomes confused and mixed up and drapes the face with something which is quite unimportant, which has nothing to do with the actual person. I think so many of these people assume too much. They jump to conclusions. An artist may sketch the face through the medium, and then the medium's subconscious idea of things will force itself forward and will draw something which does not apply. That is why often in these psychic drawings, although you may say, oh, the eyes are exactly right, then perhaps the nose is wrong. It is this weird mixture that happens, because all mediumship is a mental form in its initial state. The medium's thoughts intrude themselves, and the medium unconsciously will interfere with the channel and also impress certain things, in this instance in a portrait of someone on this side, in such a way that it will alter it. One has to accept the fact that there may be times when the channel is good, the channel is clear for impression, an idea, and so on, and the artist on this side, in this case working through a medium, will get a very excellent work accomplished. But it depends. If there are a lot of people present at a group seance, then the thoughts and ideas, subconsciously perhaps, but nevertheless very real, of the sitters will influence the medium. I think the best way to sit with any medium is to sit alone. That's why we don't care that much for groups, because there are too many different vibrations at work, too many different thought forces entering and affecting the communication. All the best mediumship is that which happens spontaneously through an instrument, preferably when the individual sitter is sitting rather than a large number of people. And I think that you have to take all these things into consideration.
I see. Really, is it possible for a person to sit alone?
Yes, but I would not recommend it, unless, of course, the person themselves were very balanced. You know, I mean balanced from the point of view of realizing that it will be difficult, perhaps, for them sometimes to differentiate between that which is reality of spiritual impression and inspiration and communication, and that which may be of the subconscious or wishful thinking of themselves. Because this applies also into groups, seances, or into circles and so on. but I think so much depends on the individual. I would not myself recommend anyone to sit alone. Some people yes, some people no. I think that there are certain dangers. One has to face the fact that, as I said, that people are not angels over here. You have good and bad and indifferent people, people who are very progressed, people who are unprogressed. And of course it is naturally often easier for people who are nearer the earth, unprogressed, to communicate or to make contact. One has to guard against this. I think the solution to all this is to remember that like will attract like. If you uplift your thoughts, if you uplift yourself mentally and spiritually, you will open up the door, as it were, to higher influences that are good and which will benefit. But also, it is not a good thing to sit if your thoughts are not elevated. If you are on a very material, mental level, then there are dangers. I think sitting on one's own is all right, if you are all right, you know.
Yes, I see.
Now, what do you want to know?
Well, I thought of doing that, you know, Rudy.
Well, I don't know.
I wondered if it would help in any.
I don't know that I would really suggest it. You see, the point is this. There are times when it would be good to sit. But there are times when it might not be good to sit. And if you have some arrangement where perhaps you say, well, every Tuesday evening I will sit from 9 till 10, it may not always be possible to keep. And secondly, it may not always be that you will be in the right atmosphere or condition. Or I would say this, and I think this is something which you can understand, that there are occasions. They're not so frequent, perhaps, as one would wish, but there are occasions when you have very strong conviction within yourself that you have had and are in some mental communication with me, for instance, or your mama. But the point is this, I don't think it is good to make a habit. I think that there are these moments when these things will come, because the moment is right. There is a special purpose or a reason for it coming, even. But to make a habit and to sit at regular times, I'm not too much in favor of this. I know it goes on, I know that people do it, but there are many things to be said against it. And in some ways I think it is better to go about one's ordinary life, doing the routine things that one has to do. And when there are certain moments in your life, for instance, which are not necessarily prepared, but which come automatically, when conditions are very good around you, when there's an atmosphere conducive to communication or inspiration, those moments we take advantage of. I think that is a tragedy, of course, of mediumship altogether, quite apart from what I'm talking about. I think the vast many people who are mediums, who have to sit by the clock, by appointment, often perhaps their health is not very good, or perhaps the conditions around and about them are not very good. Perhaps the people who may come to them are not in tune or in harmony. In other words, there are so many complications. And I think if mediumship could be, used at the right moment, and it's not always possible to know when that's going to be. You see, mediumship is something that will not always function, that cannot be ordained or organized or arranged, and that is a tragedy in a sense, perhaps, but people try to organize, try to arrange these things, which I think is in a way quite stupid, because you cannot organize, you cannot arrange things of this nature. There are moments when they can be used, these powers, and there are moments and times when they cannot be used. In other words, I think it is almost impossible to organize and to arrange these things, which must be by their very nature, spontaneous, you see.
Yes.
I know that a medium has to do his work according to his arrangements and appointments and so on. You couldn't do it otherwise. No. But then again, you see, it was never intended that it should be. I don't think we can put this in the same category as a business or a job, you see. Whereas you have appointments and so on in the normal routine of life, it's very difficult for us to make appointments. It's true that you have circles and we come. Sometimes we are present and we can't communicate. But you see, this is something that you cannot sort of be sure about from the point of view of always being able to make the contact. We don't know. Next time you see it may be impossible. Perhaps like today it is very good. It's also complex, and it is something that must happen because of its very nature, naturally and spontaneously. It cannot be forced, it cannot be coerced, it cannot be sort of meant to come into being just because you have an appointment, you see.
Yes, I see.
And I don't think, quite honestly, where you are concerned, that it would be a good thing just to sit as you perhaps have had in your mind. I don't somehow think with your daily routine life and distress, and at the moment anyway, I think you will have moments for the time being. It is best to be as you are and to know that there will be moments when you will have very strong realization of presence and messages and impressions will be given to you. But I would not suggest for one moment that you try to organize it. I don't think it can be. I don't think it is a good thing. But then again, I have my own views on this, you see.
Yes, well, I just wondered whether it would help, whether it would make me more receptive.
No, I think that... I think that you are always receptive, even under adverse conditions, which may be nothing to do with you. I mean, sometimes you may come to a circle like this and you are receptive, but, for instance, the medium may not be in the right spirit or the right mood. The atmosphere may be wrong with... Well, the medium's concerned. That's not your fault. You're receptive, but it depends on creating something which is very real to us, and that is an atmosphere or a receptive condition. It must be a general thing. It must be a mutual thing. Anyway, today is very good. I'm very happy because I was a little doubtful at first. But you know, I feel that, we have much to be very grateful for, but one cannot help feel that there's so much more one wants to do. I know how Lynn feels, I know how you feel. I know that there are disappointments at times, but these cannot be helped. So much, we must depend on each and every one, you know, I mean on the medium, on yourself, on so many things. But we can achieve much more than we have achieved. But it can only be done by patience, having patience, being fully cooperative, having complete and absolute faith, I think is so important. And I regret to say I feel Lynn has lost faith. She will not probably admit it. But it is a sham because there have been times recently, as she knows, or should know, when we have been very close and when we have almost been on the verge of success. But you see, it's not always possible to do everything in the way in which one would like it to be done. People get very tired. And I think that life can be very difficult, and I think her life particularly she feels is extremely difficult, and yet possibly is no more difficult than many. I don't think she fully understands sometimes the tremendous effort we do make. Sometimes I think she feels we are failing or letting her down. It's not true. If only she could know and others could know the efforts that we do make. But it must be a fully cooperative effort by everyone concerned, you know. I have to go very soon, but I'd like for me to wish you a very happy Christmas, both of you.
Thank you.
And I hope that you will have a very happy, peaceful Christmas, and that, as you will find happiness in what you have got.
We shall, great happiness.
And greater happiness to come, because there will be many interesting things to come. And I think I'm not going to put the neck out too far, but it won't be so very long before you have something else that will give you great pleasure. Anyway, I must go, but I'll leave you with my love and my blessing. And your mama, she sends all her love and blessing to you.
Yes, my love and blessing to everyone.
Yes, and a happy Christmas.
Happy
Noel, happy Christmas. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Rudy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mickey.
Peachy knuckle.
Oh,
that
is down, is it?
Oh! Oh, that was quite nice this morning. Mm. Nice little polite, quiet telling off, wasn't it?
Oh, dear.
Well, I meant to ask him about work. I meant to ask him about Mr. Wood.